Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show on So You Found Your Passion, What Now? I'm Shirissa Sebastian, a coach, speaker, and writer. I'm a certified life and leadership coach for women, and I hold my certification through the International Coaching Federation. My passion is helping women break free from being stuck, overwhelmed, and stressed, mainly in their professional lives and in the area of work-life balance, to live a life of passion, purpose, joy, and fulfillment. You can find more information on me and what I do on my website at www.sharissasebastian.com, and you can also find my social media links on my website itself. I'd like to take a moment to highlight a wonderful women's one-day retreat that's coming up on Saturday, April the 11th in the Shreveport, Louisiana area. So if you'd like to find out more about this, you can go onto my website and click on the event tab, or you can go directly to stopsmilebreathe0415.flashpass.com. Stay tuned until the end of the show for a special discount offer for this event. And let's get into today's show, sponsored by Audible.com. We'll be talking about how to set yourself up for success once you've discovered your passion. I'm joined by my good friend and fellow coach, Deborah Mathis. Deborah, welcome.
Thank you, Shubhisa. Thank you for having me on today's show.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on board. So would you like to take a few moments to introduce yourself?
Sure, thank you. My name is Deborah Mathis. I am a professional coach and relationship exit strategist. I work with women how to get to the core of managing the change in their relationship, become smarter financially, and face their future fearlessly. To learn more about what I do, you can reach me or visit my website, which is www.engagetosuccess.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Deborah. And I know you have a wealth of, you are a wealth of information. You just have so much to offer. So I'm so excited to do the show with you. And so let's jump right into it. Can you tell us a little bit more about your journey on becoming a coach?
Sure. My journey began when I was younger, as I would listen to the women in my family and their friends talk about their relationships and marriages and their different dynamics. When I became an adult, I met a range of highly skilled, smart women, well-established in their career, who would seek me out and just open up to me concerning their relationship or marital situations. So I became this trusted sounding board as they worked out their solutions with me. So that's pretty much how the journey began about me becoming a coach.
Oh, that's great. And you are obviously multifaceted. There's so many areas that, or so many areas where you have strengths in. So that's really exciting. You have so much to offer, not only in the financial area, but also, like you said, in marriages, relationships, and being that sounding board. So, yeah, it makes sense to me how you landed up becoming a coach. That's exciting. So why is it important to you to help women pursue what they're passionate about?
Shirissa, helping women to pursue what they're passionate about is so important to me because culturally, religious traditions, parents, messages about our body image or our self-image or even peer pressure influences and plays a key role in a young woman's development, which usually sets a traditional life path for them, but they're not completely prepared for it. Our parents can take us to ballet or any sporting event for training, even in our educational. But there's one particular area in our life that we are not properly prepared for, and that is relationships. Mm-hmm. So many of these traditional beliefs and rituals are not a one-size-fit-all.
Right, absolutely. And I love that you mentioned that about how a lot of our experiences and, you know, we're not really taught in school as far as relationships. And that's really a key to every aspect of our lives. It's not just essential to help us professionally, but also in our personal lives, which then feeds into how we perform, you know, professionally in the work in the workplace and things like that. So, yeah, that is such a big key, yet there's so little that we are taught as we grow up. And on the other side of that, we have other, you know, influences, and like you mentioned, peer pressure, life experiences, beliefs, all of these things that at a subconscious level feed into how we react in terms of relationships, but they may not be always, you know, to our advantage. Like we may grow up with certain beliefs that maybe don't help us necessarily in having the best relationships or whatever the case is. And it's so important to get to the bottom of that and uncover that and also be open, you know, because of course in any change you've got to be open, you've got to be aware, and you have to acknowledge the fact that that is an area that you want to improve in. And like you said, relationships are so key to so many different areas.
Absolutely. It's all about how we interact in in a personal setting as well as a professional setting in relationship building.
Absolutely. So with that, and of course the relationship aspect also influences our decisions for ourselves, not just in that relationship, but in terms of following our hearts and following what makes us happy and even discovering what our true potential is. So, Deborah, can you talk a little bit about how women can really get the courage to tap into that true potential and do what it is that they love to do?
Yes. What comes to mind, Sharissa, is first you have to make a decision to examine what do I really want in life for myself. And once you are able to really do a self-examination, to really not just rush through this, because it's not instantaneously that you come up with the answer, but when you really sit down to make that decision to examine what it is that you really want in life, then you can begin the process to truly tap into that potential and explore what is it that you really love. And at times, love is so overused. Perhaps we can look at what we really enjoy doing that contributes to our uniqueness, to our value, and what we can contribute to the world.
I love the way you just put that. That's very, very well said, because really we do have value, and there's a reason we're all here. We're supposed to be contributing in certain, you know, in some way, and that should feel it should be in flow. You know, it shouldn't be something that we struggle with, and that's really a clue also. When we're doing something and we just feel like it's a struggle and it's a burden and it's stressing us out and we feel overwhelmed, that could be a clue. And I know there's a lot of other factors that influence that, but that could be a clue to us to pause and really think about: am I doing what it is that I'm supposed to be doing? Is this something I'm passionate about, or am I doing it for other reasons that I maybe need to stop and, like you said, examine that, you know, examine what it is that you want and what makes you happy. And I think as women also, there's women in particular really feel this strong desire or need to be there for others, you know, to be there. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, to be there for your family and, like we talked about earlier, in those relationships, to be there for your spouse or and those that are close to us. And sometimes we put what we feel makes us happy on the back burner, thinking that we have to be there to serve others first, even if that's to our own detriment, even if that doesn't make us feel good, or maybe it means that we don't do what we love to do.
Yeah. And at times, we also are seeking that validation from others, too, because we fear that, well, I really want to do this, but I need even my parents to validate me, my friends to validate me, my spouse to validate me. And we need to come to that point where we can look in the mirror and confidently say, you know what, I can do this. It's about validating yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you just said. That is actually a good tip for our listeners as well. And as strange as it sounds sometimes, But just like acknowledgement, just standing in front of a mirror, you know, obviously you can do this by yourself behind closed doors, but standing in front of the mirror and saying, you know what, I am enough. There's so much that I've been able to overcome in my life. There's just so much of a value that I have to give, and I'm going to go out there into the world and really shine and do what it is that I'm meant to do. And really, you know, when you think about it in terms of serving those or being there for those that are close to you, that really is the best way to do it, is to be true to who you are, because that way you're giving of yourself in a way that's authentic, that's not stressful, and people can feel that, they can sense that, because when you're under a lot of pressure and you do things just because you feel like you should or you have to, you know, people can sense that from you. And so it's important to be able to be in that space and to value ourselves and to realize how much we have to offer, and then go out into the world and be of service in that way and from that space, rather than doing things that we just feel like we should do.
I agree, Charissa. I definitely agree on that.
Yeah, and I love what you said about validation coming from within us as well, because I think that's so easy to overlook. And back to what you were saying earlier about the way we grow up sometimes, you know, we have these influences and peer pressure and all of these different things that contribute to us maybe feeling that we do have to seek that validation elsewhere, whether that's from a boss or a spouse or kids or, you know, family members, wherever it is. But it's so important to start with ourselves, because we really should be like you were saying about validation, we really should feel good about ourselves to the point where we don't need that validation from other people. And so we can go into the world from that space of confidence and be able to make those decisions.
Yeah. And, you know, there are times, Charissa, where we usually, some women don't always have that support system in place. Mm-hmm. They may not have a parent that supported them, or they may not have a spouse that supports them. So really, if you do not have that support system in place, a positive support system in place, then at times there's no one else but you that you have to find that courage and that strength to pull from.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that support system is you know, important. And if you grow up, like you were saying, Deborah, or maybe just in a space where you don't feel like you have that support system that could help you. And there's ways, you know, like we were saying, it's important to be strong enough and to be able to look at yourself from that space of feeling good enough and feeling valued and feeling confident. But at the same time, it's also important to have those right people around you. And I love that this is something that I, over the years, it has been, you know, kind of one of those things that that always comes to mind, is that we are a combination of the five people that we surround ourselves with. Like, it's so important to surround ourselves with the right group of people that are positive, that support us, that value us, and all of that. So as much as we want to start with validating ourselves, but it's also important to surround ourselves with people and reach out, even if you don't have the support system, but try to reach out and get involved and get out there so that you are surrounded by people that will lift you up and support you when needed. And that could even be, you know, like a paid service, like a coach, or, you know, just somebody there to be that sounding board and to help you through those times.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really key, to have that support when you feel like you know, when you don't have anyone around you. So, Deborah, let me ask you this. What are some reasons, and I know we touched on some of this, but what are some reasons that hold us back from doing what we love?
Some of the things that come to mind is it can be what we call an internal block or an external block. When I talk about internal block, we commonly know that as the inner critic, the sabotager, whatever names that we may give that inner judgment that we have. And you touched on this earlier. Sometimes it comes through the voice of, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not skilled enough, I don't have the talent. Whatever this self-doubt is about ourselves, that's one of the things that could hold someone back from doing pursuing their passion. Externally, it could be not having the finances in place. Maybe more education could be needed, and maybe even coming to that point where you're realizing that may not be for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, sometimes that will hold us back because it may be a situation to where it's beyond our control.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be for us at
mm-hmm.
that time, but not to say it wouldn't be later on, but maybe just not at that moment. Once we take a closer look and examination as to if this is what we really want to pursue, then it could be we come to that realization it's just not for us. Other things that could possibly hold us back is the fact our perception about ourselves. Sometimes we don't even know who we are most of the times or
mm-hmm.
what is it that we want to do. We can go through life unaware as we get caught up in the routine of everyday life. We call it busyness.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to take a look at that busyness and see what's really causing those distractions. So the distractions are what's really holding us back from taking a closer look at what we want to pursue. Those are some of the things that come to mind that could be our little barriers that hold
mm-hmm.
us back from pursuing our passion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think I'm sure, you know, our listeners can attest to this in some way or another in terms of, you know, wanting to move forward and making that decision and then trying to figure out and realizing, oh, my goodness, you know, there's all of these things that I need to think about or I need to take into consideration that may be holding them back. So in terms of the area that you just mentioned, Deborah, what are some of the ways that we can overcome these challenges?
Some of the ways I can think that we can overcome these challenges is as we look at our passion, ask yourself the question, what are you most passionate about?
Mm.
I mean, there are so many things in life that are available to us but may not be good for us. So
mm-hmm.
we need to take a look at what are we most passionate about? What makes our heart sing or what makes your heart sing? What is it that you do that will be what other people would say the hardest to do, but it comes effortlessly to you?
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy for you to do. So taking a look at that will be one way how to overcome that challenge. Another one is energy. What are the three things you've done that you couldn't wait to get at each day? And taking a look at, do you have the energy to pursue that? Sometimes our current commitments present a challenge to us, but when we take a look at the energy that is at the core of it, we can always find or shift that energy to help us have the right energy at the right time to pursue that passion. Another way we can overcome our challenges is fulfillment. One question that comes to mind is that, what's been the most satisfying thing you ever done? What made it so fulfilling? When we can write that answer out, then we start seeing we having building blocks that help us to move forward towards pursuing our passion. And lastly, Sharissa, changing the world. I like to ask this question. If you could invest the rest of your life and know that you can change one thing in the world around you, what would it be? And what led you to choose that? I think those four keys would mm-hmm. help an individual or help a woman to overcome the challenges so that they can pursue their passion.
Oh, those are fantastic. And what a powerful question. They can really open some doors as far as getting us, you know, unstuck from that place where we just feel, you know, we can get overwhelming. One of the things I wanted to go back to that you said that I think was just so beautifully put is that even though we may have these things or these opportunities available to us, and there's lots of, you know, there's in today's world, there's just so many opportunities to do so many different things, but those what's available to us may not be the best for us. And I love the way you put that because it's so true. It's so true. Just because we have all of these opportunities doesn't mean that we have to try to pursue them just because we, you know, just because they're there. And I think that can also lead to overwhelm. So what are some ways that maybe you or some tips that you have for sorting through all that, sorting through the noise so you can focus on the things that really are in line with what you should be doing?
Would you mind repeating that question again, Charissa, for me?
Oh, sure, no problem. So I was just asking that when you mentioned that the things that are available for us may not necessarily be the best, you know, so just because we have these lots of different options doesn't mean that we should try to pursue all of them. So my question is, how do we filter through that? How do we sort through that so that we're making those decisions that are truly in line with what's going to be best for us?
How we can filter through that is examining what's our values, because at times our values can conflict with what we're passionate about, which would cause us to get out of alignment, so to speak. So I really like to take a look at what's most important, what do you really value, and do those values align with your passion? Because if they don't, no matter how much you say, oh, this is what I want to do, I know I'm good at it, I have the skills, I have the finances, I have everything in place, but if it is not in align with what you truly value, it's going to be for naught. It's going to become exasperating, and it could even be detrimental to your health in terms of burnout. And then you scratch your head later on and said, how did I get to this place? Well, let's see. Yeah. Did I take a look at what I valued the most?
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that not only applies to these bigger decisions that we're making as far as the career or, you know, doing things that we love, but it also in the little things, in the small decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis. And like you said, I mean, not being in alignment with your values can lead to burnout and frustration and stress. So those powerful questions that you just mentioned is a really good way for us to really stop and say, okay, I'm feeling this, you know, I'm feeling overwhelmed or frustrated or stressed, and I don't want to keep going this way, but what can I do to change that? And those questions that you said earlier are really helpful in helping us move through that. And then also obviously going back to the values and saying, what are my values? What are those things that are really important to me? And then am I doing things and am I making decisions that are in line with that? And if not, then that's probably what's causing me all of this stress and frustration. So that's a great point.
Yeah. And one more point, if I may add to that, Charissa. Another is find a trusted friend that you can really just be honest with, and they will give you honest feedback. You don't have to do this alone. I want to stress that. You don't have to do this alone when you're examining what your passion are, because at times we can be like cliff jumpers, you know? We're going to take that leap of faith, and you're like, but wait, there's three people that has already advised you, don't do that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's always good to find a wise, let me stress that, a wise advisor that can give you that honest feedback. Or, again, hire a coach, because a coach would come from a place of objectivity, They come from a place of non-judgment, and they provide that confidential setting to where you can really explore all your options without feeling judged.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it is good, like you said, to have someone that's not in your very, very tight circle that kind of has an outside outside view on things, like a coach or even a mentor. Like we're talking about moving forward professionally, you know, seeking the advice or counsel of a mentor is very, very helpful. Like you're looking for people that are in those positions that you desire to be in. And because there's just a lot of people, I mean, sometimes we look at those people and go, oh, they're not going to have time for me. But you will be amazed when you reach out to people and you're genuinely interested in them and how they've been able to achieve what they achieve. People are open to helping. So, yeah, just being in that, being open to also reach out to people, because it's not always easy. You know, it's not always easy to reach out. And it does mean that we have to be vulnerable, you know, in some way to say, hey, you know, I don't have all of the answers right now, but I'm on this journey and I want to get better and I want to improve and I want to make the right decisions. So can you help me out?
Yeah, and even when it comes to our career advancement, Charissa, when we take a look at seeking a mentor, we also have to keep in mind that that's what they are. They are a mentor. They're sharing experiences that they have gone through, what has worked for them, but also keep in mind that at the end of the day, you are responsible for managing and leading your career. Mm-hmm. They're just there to give the information. You can extract from it. You can learn from them. Mentors are definitely great, but just keep in mind at the end of the day, you are still responsible for managing your career, managing your relationship, managing your life.
Absolutely. And it goes back to what you were talking about earlier, Deborah, about really digging deep and looking inside first and figuring out, you know, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing that's going to be true to who I am? Because you're right, a mentor is going to be more of an external view and then more in terms of like a, you know, a career path or and they can absolutely bring a lot of value. But until you really care in, you know, within you of what it is that you desire and is that really in line with my values and in line with my beliefs and in line with what I have to offer, it's difficult to seek out a mentor and, you know, try to do that or try to, you know, leverage a mentor for support in that way if you're not really sure of what it is you're supposed to be doing. So great point there.
Thank you. Boy, this is good. I'm enjoying this, Charissa.
Yeah, I know, and I'm learning so much from you. This is incredible. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said we're just learning from each other.
Yes, this is a wonderful discussion, and I'm sure that our listeners are learning so much from you as well. So I'm just very grateful that you're sharing all of these pearls of wisdom with us today. So thank you again for your time. So Deborah, I'm actually going to switch gears on us for just a moment, and I want to take this opportunity to let our listeners know that the show on So You Found Your Passion, What Now? Is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen on any device. If you sign up at our URL, audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you get one free audiobook and a month free trial of this service. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your support. So, Deborah, coming back to our topic, one of the other things that's so important is the areas that we need to consider before making a big decision as far as our career goes. So we've talked about examining, you know, and then making sure we understand what's going to be important to us and the right decision for us in terms of that next step towards something that we feel passionate about. So now let's talk about what are some things that once we have clarity on what it is that we want to do and we want to pursue, what are some areas that we need to think about before going after what we desire?
Another area that we really need to think about before we go after what we desire, Charissa, is our spiritual life.
Mm.
we have to take a look at our spiritual life, meaning how you refine your image of God and who God is. Is once we take a look at that, because we hear about holistic coaching. There's a lot of messages out there about body, mind, and spirit, but I like to use the order of spirit, mind, and body, because we know how to have our day-to-day practical living, but also what connects and brings this all together is when we also look at our spirituality and when we look at our God identity of how God created us to be. And when we are in that alignment, that God perspective, then everything else tends to fall in place with no questions asked. So I say that we take a look at our spiritual life and how we define God in our lives.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, we're all, you know, we're spiritual beings. That's how we were made.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have this internal compass, you know, whether you call it your intuition or the Holy Spirit or whatever term you use to, you know, to refer to it. But we do have this. We're born with it. And it really is there to guide us and to help us and to, you know, to really keep us in a space that's true to us and true to our beliefs and our values. So that's, you know, the spiritual life is definitely a huge component of this, because that's sometimes where we, you know, where we get into those areas of being stuck is when we're not in line spiritually, is when we're not connected to who we are. And yeah, it's really powerful to have that as your starting point. You know, to have your spirituality as a way, you know, to tap into who you are and tap into that higher power and that higher source, or, you know, to tap into what God has in store for you. And, you know, because like you mentioned, that's really where we're going to be in the flow of our lives. And that's where we're going to be able to make those decisions a lot easier and be able to really move forward according to who we're designed to be versus doing or making decisions based on what we think we should be doing.
Absolutely. Sharissa, if I can share a quick story with you why that is so important. One of my favorite authors is John Ortberg, O-R-T-B-E-R-G, and he's written several books, but the one that I keep close to my desk when I'm working that reminds me of my humanness, that reminds me that sometimes our ego can tell us that we're superheroes and we think that we're invincible, and because that we're leaders and we're in charge and we do all these things, and it helps. His book that comes to mind is called When the Game is Over, It All Goes Back in the Box. So I was like, what exactly does he mean by that? So I'll just share with quickly that he shares his story when he was growing up with his grandmother and how she loved to play board games with him. And she shares this story with him about an entrepreneur who is married. They have a couple of kids, and he's starting his company. He's pursuing his passion, his dream. Well, as a process in building that business, of course, it takes the long hours, the commitment, the investors that he has to talk to, all the connections he has to make. So from time to time, his wife would come to him and say, when are we going to take that vacation? Because all we've been doing is going on, quote-unquote, working vacations. And he would reply back to her when things settled down. Then he would go on and he'll work late nights. He'll work from the home. He'll work from office. Or he'll go into the office. And then his son would come up to him, Dad, I have a game coming up this weekend. Will you be there? And Dad would reply, son, not this time because I got I have this business meeting here and I have this business meeting there, but I promise you I'll be at one of your games when things settle down. Mm-hmm. So needless to say, time goes on. He's building the business, and he's really pursuing what he has always dreamed about. And then his business partner comes to him and says, like, Joe, we have an investor that really wants to help us expand our business. We've been waiting for this opportunity, and here it is. Who doesn't think about that opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. So we always want to reach for that. That's what we've been working for. So his wife comes back to him again, and this is on a Sunday because Joe says, in order to meet with this investor, he's only available this Sunday for a meeting. So, of course, Sunday is when they go to church. So his mm-hmm. wife is getting ready and everything, and so she's like, I thought you were coming to church with us. I can't. This investor's in town. Today is the only day he can meet us. But I promise you, when everything settles down, mm-hmm. We'll be able to live this life we want to live. But inwardly, this guy is becoming resentful because he's like, don't you understand? I'm doing this all for us so we can afford to have the vacations we want to have or live in the house we've always dreamed of. I'm doing this all for us. But yet he feels his family doesn't appreciate what he does. Mm-hmm. So one night, he's working late, 3 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden he feels this tightness in his chest. The man has a heart attack and dies.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So his wife, of course, makes the arrangements. All the friends come by. They give their sympathies and condolences. And, of course, they say he was a good man. He was a pillar in the community, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in the end, remember, we can't take this with us. So it all goes back in the box. So we have to remember our mortality, that mm-hmm. we're not going to live forever. So as we're pursuing our passions, it's also important to remember what's important as we pursue our dreams.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I know a lot of people can relate to that, you know, whether you're a working mom or, you know, or you're the dad trying to provide for your family. I know a lot of people will relate. What an eye-opening story. And so relevant to what we're talking about in terms of values and making sure that you know, you're doing things that are in line with your values. Like in this case, I'm sure his family was very important to him, and that family relationship was a priority for him. And so, yeah, it's just important to be able to look at those things and make those choices on a daily basis. Because you're right. I mean, that we don't obviously live forever, and we don't know what's coming tomorrow. So we have to make sure that the decisions that we make today are going to be, you know, in line with our values and what's important to us.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Like I said, it keeps me having the right perspective and knowing that we're here to win the one game that really counts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And really, at the end of the day, we're built for relationships. Right, we're both to be in community and to serve others and to be there for our family and others as well, but also to tap into what, you know, the way we're made and what's important to us and the gifts that we have so that we can better be of service to others. So what are some of the other things that we need to think about, Deborah, in terms of going after the, you know, what it is that we desire? So we talked a little bit about relationships and also our values and doing things that are in line with who we are. What are some other things to consider before making maybe a big leap in terms of what we want to do in life?
We got to take a look at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth risking? And we have to count up the costs. I think that's key in terms of taking a risk. As visionaries, as we come up with creating our dreams, we create our visions, we create our mission, we know this is what we're going to do, we know how this will benefit a lot of people, not just from a financial perspective or a profit perspective, but it's all about enhancing a better way of life, a better mankind, so to speak. But mm-hmm. we also have to realistically take a look at the risk. We have to make sure that we have everything lined up before we take that risk. Otherwise, it's going to be like we're building a house of cards.
Yes, that's a good point. Absolutely. And there's so much that's involved in evaluating those risks. Like, they could be in so many different areas. So, because, I mean, a big decision is going to impact so many different areas of our life. I mean, it could involve lifestyle changes and finances, like we spoke about earlier, relationships. I mean, there's a lot of things that could change as a result of pursuing what we, you know, what's important to us.
Absolutely, and it could impact those that we love. You know, if your family is accustomed to living a certain lifestyle, but mm-hmm. as you're talking about pursuing your passion, again, identifying what that passion is, you do have to put pencil to paper and write it out. What all does that entail? What does it look like? Who does it impact?
Mm-hmm.
And how can and actually putting a plan in place, how are you going to achieve it?
Because right, and that actually, it takes a lot of the pressure. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because you don't want to do it haphazardly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to build a house of cards.
Right, and especially if it's a big decision that could have a big, you know, big implications or big impact. That's very true. And
yes.
The other thing that I wanted to mention in terms of risk is also looking at it from maybe a little bit of a different angle in terms of if we don't take the risk or if we don't move forward, what are we losing? You know, what are we missing out on? And are we really willing to do that? Because sometimes we can look at those risks and it's a really good idea, like you said, to write them down and put pen to paper and really have it all laid out, because that takes a lot of the overwhelm and stress out of it. You know, when we have it on paper and we can start to say, okay, now I need to plan for this. But sometimes when we look at those risks, it can be a little bit daunting too, and we can look at that and go, oh, do I really want to do this? But one of the other things to consider is almost in terms of opportunity cost. You know, if I don't take this risk, what am I going to be missing out on? And am I okay with that? Because it's fine to make that decision. We're not saying, oh, you have to go and make this giant leap and make all of these big changes. But really, you do have to make a decision. You have to decide, do I want to stay where I am, given everything, taking everything into consideration, or do I want to move forward and do something maybe a little bit different? And if I don't do that, you know, if I want to stay kind of maybe in my comfort zone and I don't really want to take that leap, then what am I missing out on? And am I going to be okay with missing out on all of those things that I could maybe do, maybe a bigger impact that I could make? Am I okay with saying, nope, I'm going to stay on the side of the fence and not do that? So that's just another thing to consider as well when you're talking about this.
Absolutely, absolutely. That reminded me of, you know, at times just standing on the sidelines. If you don't get out there and play the game, how you know if you're going to win?
Absolutely.
Got to get out there and play.
Yes, and one of the other things that came to mind when you said that, talking about the sports analogy, is you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. So if you're not out there and trying, you know, that just popped into my head. When you said that, I was like, you know, that's another one of my favorites. I always think about that as well, that if we don't, if we don't go out there and actually make the effort, then, you know, if we don't ask the questions or if we hold back, then we're just never going to know, right? We're never going to move forward.
Yep, you have to step up to the line and take that three-point shot.
Love that. Oh, so talking about stepping up to the line and taking that big swing, one of the major areas when we're talking about big change is typically, especially in terms of career, typically financial. I mean, we touched on this, but what are some ways we can prepare for a change financially?
That is a good question, Sharissa. Keeping in mind that everyone's financial situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it depends on where they are in their careers. But how one thing we can, how we can prepare financially is we typically have been told the traditional, and that is by having savings instruments in place, 401ks, safe investments in terms of like mutual funds or CDs. But at this at this particular time, is almost like during this economic difficulties, people are having to spend just to stay alive. They're using their debit cards, their credit cards, taking out loans, or not even some are not even approved for loans. So again, some may be coming from a place of struggle to where they cannot even afford to save at this time. But if mm-hmm. you are in a position to save, I would say how we can prepare is I can speak to the audience that right now that's like how in the world can I prepare financially? Here's what you can do. Each morning, if you stop at the Starbucks and get a cup of coffee, or in technology age, if you buy all these different apps, the money that you spend for the apps. Now, Apple, I love you. You're my heart. I saw the Apple Watch this morning. I'm trying to figure out how to get one. If you want to send this, please do. But take a look at what you currently have in terms of financial, in savings, in your emergency funds, and even sometimes we have to dip into those. But in order to prepare financially, if we have a spouse, that's great. If their income can support that change, that's even better. But for most women, they may be that working mother. And their dollars, they really have to watch their dollars. It's mm-hmm. important that you do. Even if you have all the money in the world, it's still wise to keep your eye on what's going out as far as expenses and what's coming in. If more is going out than what's coming in, you definitely need to make adjustments. Talk to a financial advisor. There are free workshops that are available for individuals. There's also free webinars that are available that you can listen into if you don't know where to start to begin how to prepare yourself financially. Then there are some great resources and tools and books out there that can help you get started in terms of learning about finances, what does it really mean? Why is it important to me? There are so many resources out there available to a person to help them to become financial literate. I think it starts there.
Yeah, that's such great advice and very, very good. One of the things that I wanted to add to that as well is I think We sometimes think about these big changes in terms of maybe leaving our job and, you know, pursuing our passion, like we have to go out on our own and do all of these things on our own and maybe start our own business. But it's not necessarily that. So when we're talking today about pursuing your passion, it doesn't necessarily mean starting your own business or doing something like that. But it could actually mean even pursuing a different type of career, maybe in the corporate world, whatever it is, or it may be talking about finances, it may be going after a position or a job that maybe you feel more aligned with and you love, but it's going to require you to take a bit of a pay cut initially or something like that. So there's different ways to look at that in terms of going after your passion. But also what Deborah mentioned, I mean, all of those things are going to help you so much prepare financially for that. And one other thing is also to kind of think outside the box with this. I mean, there's and we know, you know, when you're pursuing your passion, it could just be a short-term thing in terms of, making sure that you're financially set up, because as you know, as time goes and as you establish yourself and whatever it is that you want to do, there's going to be other opportunities and ways for you to get that income coming in and maybe generate more income. But initially, just to prepare for that transition period, trying to think outside the box. So that could mean maybe taking a part-time job, or you know, there's lots of different ways to do that. And you know, if you are in a relationship, just brainstorming together and thinking about ways to maybe cut back. And like Deborah mentioned, one of the things that's so important too, even before all of this, is really knowing where you stand right now financially. So knowing how much is going out, how much is coming in, and doing that budget and looking at where you are now and trying to figure out ways to help you to fund that passion or that dream or whatever it is that you want to accomplish.
Yeah. And one other thing, Charissa, that I would like to add to that, volunteerism. Oh, my gosh. What does it cost you? Absolutely nothing. It's free. That could be one of your passions that you're pursuing. Before you invest, find out if you can volunteer in some way to see if that's what you really want to do. And I am glad that you brought up entrepreneurship if you want to. If your passion is after you leave the corporate world, if you're ready to start a business, most people traditionally been taught to have a business plan in place, which is sound advice. But there's one step that is commonly missed, and that is have a feasibility plan in place. A feasibility plan helps you to determine, first of all, if entrepreneurship is for you. Sometimes we think the mindset is, when I leave the corporate world, I want to go start my own business. But if you do a feasibility plan, it helps you to flesh out that idea if entrepreneurship is for you. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But when you do a feasibility plan, you're coming from a place where, again, being prepared. It's all about being prepared. And a feasibility plan would take you through, I believe, 12 steps to really examine your idea for your business, see if it's feasible for today's market. If so, then run with it because you have your business plan in place, and we wish you all the best and great success with it. But first and foremost, take a look at getting a feasibility plan.
Right, and it's very important to look at those different areas. So what are some of those elements that are included in the feasibility plan, Deborah? You mentioned a little bit around the area of market research and that kind of thing. What else would be included in that feasibility plan?
What's included in that is you take a look at, again, if your ideal is feasible for today's market, who's going to be your target audience. It also takes a look at geographic locations where you would like to open your business up. It also even takes a look at your support system, if you have your family support in this, because sometimes family can get caught up in the excitement of, yes, let's do this, but not really taking a step back to say where we are financially. So the first thing we look at is communicating the business concept, gathering information for feasibility, your products and services that you're offering, the market analysis, the industry and competition, market segments and strategies, the price profitability, price cost break-even point, even taking a look at cash flow, projecting sales, planning for further action or future action, and having that reality check and plan to make sure after you've completed all the previous steps that toward the end you should know whether or not your idea is feasible to go into business. And even if it's not, that's okay. Go back and make the necessary adjustments and tweaks And do continue research. That's a lovely thing about a feasibility plan. You can always go back and work on it and tweak it until you're able to have check marks by each of the steps as you go along. And then you can say, okay, now I'm ready. The market is ready. I know my product and service. I know the price points, my cost even analysis, and you're ready to launch.
Great. Those are some really, really key elements there. And that also, the other thing that brings me back to that you mentioned earlier was risk, because that will really help you reduce that risk and at least prepare for what should come and then make a decision based on that information and that research that you're doing. And it'll help you also, you know, alleviate some of that stress.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Deborah, this is probably the toughest question, but I'm going to throw it out there because it goes back to relationships. And so, and gosh, I can't believe we're almost at the top of the hour already, but one more question for you. So how do we, you know, once we establish this and say we do the feasibility plan and we're pretty confident that this is the duration that we want to move in. So how do we communicate that to our loved ones about the, you know, the changes that we're going to make or the changes that we maybe as a family unit that are going to happen as a result of this? And how do we kind of get them in our corner? And what do we do if they're not on board? I told you it was a tough one.
Oh, wait a minute. That brought up so many memories here. I will start with sometimes you can't say anything. Sometimes you just can't say anything because it goes back to they're watching. They're family members are going to watch to see whether or not you fail or succeed. So you have to pick who you tell your idea to. That's with anybody, and mm-hmm. especially in your family. But if you're in a marital relationship, it is great to have your spouse's support because they're going to be your cheerleader. If you have a wonderful spouse, they're going to be your cheerleader, and they're just going to look at you and say, let's sit down, let's work it out, let's plan this, let's see what we have to do, what adjustments we have to make, and let's do this. But when you don't have the support in place, it's going to be challenging, and here's why. Again, they're going to look at the fact that, one, who do you think you are, first and foremost, to go out and do this? And they're going to give you all the reasons why you're not supposed to do this, and you're going to have to take that with a grain of salt and believe in your heart and believe in yourself. That's what's going to help you to launch forward with this, with your parent, with your passion. That's at night because you believe in yourself, you believe in your ideal, and it's not because it's pie in the sky, but you actually have a solid plan in place. You've tested it, you've tried it, and it works. And you know what? Even if it doesn't go off the way you plan it, so what? You at least had the courage, you had the guts to do what many people fail to do because they're sitting on the sidelines and saying, wish I could have, would have, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. But you had the courage enough to at least take the first step toward pursuing your passion. And you know what? Life is great. You can do it again. You can start over. Mm-hmm. You can always start over, tweak it, make the adjustments. You find out it wasn't for me. It's okay. But you get up, you brush yourself off, and you keep going at it. because eventually you will find that a passion that aligns with you, your values, your authenticity, your integrity, and it just lines up perfectly for you, and it's meant to be. And then that's when not the stars is the limit, but the universe is unlimited to where you can go with it.
Yeah, beautifully said, absolutely beautifully said. And that's such a good point as well about the fact that, you know, so what if you fail? And really winning and succeeding and getting to where you want to be is going to be a journey of failures, and you're going to have success along the way, but there's going to be failures and times where, like you said, you've got to dust yourself off and pick yourself up. And another thing that you mentioned as well is having that standard place, and that's something that could maybe help with communicating that to the ones that you love, is saying, look, I have done my research. I've looked at all of these different things, and here's what I've come up with. Here's what I have. And also another thing that could help with that is just to ask them questions, you know, try to get their buy-in, try to say, what do you think about this? Ask for their input, ask for their feedback. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's your life. You've got to make a decision that you feel is right for you, and keep plugging along, like Deborah said. You know, don't give up. Keep going, because like you said, when you are doing things that are in line with who you are, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's what you're supposed to be doing, those opportunities are going to present themselves, and you're going to find those things that are in line with what you're supposed to do. Beautifully said, Deborah. So that actually, you know, that brings us to the end of the show already. My goodness. So I'm going to ask you for any final thoughts, and then if you could also let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you.
Final thoughts are, again, I applaud you for having the courage to pursue your passion, because that's what life is really all about, is experiencing life. And whatever comes your way that helps you to get closer to what you were meant to do, what God designed for you to do, however you contribute to make this world a better place, to make humanity kinder, we need you. We need you. So pursue that passion. Find the courage to take the step. Don't wait any longer. Go ahead and take that action now. And align your support. And know that as you're pursuing your passion, keep the reality of knowing everyone is not going to accompany you on this journey. That's okay. But those that fall off, know that there's going to be many more who's meant to come along and support you and to help you along the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much, Deborah. Those are powerful, powerful words. Thank you.
My pleasure, Sharissa. I enjoy working with you. This is fun.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do this again, for sure, for sure. But I just want to thank you again for your time and for sharing such beautiful and valuable insights with our guests. And I took a lot of notes, because there's so much that I learned from you in this hour. So thanks again for being on the show with me today.
Thank you for the invite. It was such a privilege. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. So what I'd like to do from my end is just to close with this quote from James Campbell, which I think is very relevant to our discussion today, and that is, follow your dreams, and the universe or God will open doors for you where there were only walls. And this goes back to what Deborah was saying as well, that when you're in line with what you're called to do, the opportunities are going to be there for you. And it's just a matter of you having that courage and stepping into them. So if anyone would like to reach me, you can contact me at info, that's I-N-F-O, at sharissasebastian.com. And my website is www.sharissasebastian.com, and all my social media links can be found on my website. Actually, Deborah, I do want to take a moment, because I don't believe you mentioned how people can get in touch with you. So if you could let them know, that would be awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for the reminder, Sharissa. The way you can reach me is through email at info as well at engagetosuccess.com. My website is www.engagetosuccess.com. Again, I work with women who, I've just seen too many women victimized and after a relationship breakup, a divorce, barely getting by financially and having to start over, sometimes even in their careers where their spirits are broken, their dreams are shattered, and they're financially broke because of some of the choices they make, but they don't have to stay there. By working together, I help these women get back up again, help them to realize to dream again, to pursue their passion again, so that they can face their future fearlessly.
Great. We definitely need more women like you in this world, Deborah, for sure. Thank you again. So at the beginning of the show, I mentioned a special offer about the women's retreat that we have coming up in Shreveport, Louisiana on April the 11th. And I would absolutely love to see any ladies who can make it out to Shreveport or who are already in the Shreveport area at that event. So we're offering a 10% discount with the code SSB for Stop, Smile, Breathe, and then LCRN for Life Coach Radio Network. So if you use the code SSB, LCRN on the site stopsmilebreathe0415.splashdat.com, you'll get 10% off the price of the ticket. And if you didn't catch all of that, don't worry, you can access that link right below on the same page that you used to access the radio show today. And again, we would absolutely love to see you. And then to find out more about Life Coach Radio Network, you can go to lifecoachradionetwork.com. This is where you can find more information on our coaches and also future shows. And I'd like to take this opportunity to let you know about one of our upcoming shows. And there's a show called Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca that's coming up on March 23rd at 7 p.m. Eastern. And my next show is on Monday, April 20th on Life Coach Radio Network at the same time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks again, Deborah, and thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. Much peace, love, and blessings.